Blog Talk Radio.
Good. How are you guys?
Very
you
good,
will.
Terry. Thank you. It's an honor to interview someone with the talents that you have.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You know, as I was telling Craig earlier, that's the first time I've heard that song ever, and I just love it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think a couple people can relate to it.
Yes, it definitely makes you want to dance, as in the title of your EP.
Thank you for doing this today, like Craig said. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
So, before we get into things today, just kind of introduce yourself and tell the listeners how you got into the music business in the first place.
How I got into the music business in the first place. Well, I kind of just started out singing. I've been singing since I was little. I'd like to say knee-high to a grasshopper because it's just pretty much as long as I can remember. I've always been singing. And then I got into songwriting about time that, well, the mid-90s, I would have to say, because of the stuff that, like, Garth Brooks and Patti Loveless and Shania Twain, they were just hot. And Steve Warner, all the music that was coming from them was amazing. And I just wanted to start dabbing into writing what was coming from my heart versus singing what was written by somebody else. So then I decided to start writing in the realm, and which brought me into going back to school for engineering and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. I've been doing it ever since, all aspects of the music business.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and you said about 90s country. I'm probably aging myself here, but I grew up on 90s country as well. I mean, Reba, Shania Twain, I got Brooks and Dunn, George Strait, people like that. They were constantly being played around the house. So I get that totally.
Yeah, they were pretty amazing. And I think as far as country music goes, they're the ones that really got me into country was 90s country, because before that, and it wasn't until recently that I really kind of made the epiphany and going, aha, but it was really more my musical style that I grew up listening to was more along the lines of like Motown and 80s rock. And I absolutely loved Hall & Oates. They're the ones that really got me going in the music business as far as listening to them, listening to like Maneater and stuff like that. That was,
I think
ultimately when I look back, I think that is the song that got me interested in music in the first place, because it's stuck with me ever since. I just remember that song and just the sound and how describing like a woman, almost like a tiger, and the eeriness of the darkness of the music, but yet it was up tempo, and it was just like, wow, this is an amazing song, and it just kind of went from there.
Well, I can imagine the lyrics applying to your career when they sing, "Oh, here she comes," meaning you, watch out, boy, she'll chew you up, and you have definitely chewed up the charts with your EP and your talent.
Oh, man.
A couple people have said that with that song and me, and I'm like, I'll just take that as a compliment.
It's a huge compliment in a sarcastic manner, Carrie.
Seriously, though, and anybody that knows me personally will tell you this. My music tastes strange from, oh, my God, you need to hear this, to, please don't judge me for having this one in my playlist. Don't judge me for this.
That's awesome.
It's like I'll give you a prime example. I'll be listening to, let's say Usher. From 1 minute to the next minute, it'll switch to Brooks and Dunn, straight up as country as you can possibly get. So.
Yeah, I completely get that. I like just putting on my playlist of, you know, just hitting all the songs that are in my A catalog on my phone and just letting them play, or, you know, or the D catalog, and whatever song's in there is what's going to play. And so it gives you a nice variety of different genres, even classical music, because I was classically trained, and so I have a lot of classical music in my phone too. So I'll listen to all sorts of times.
You know, and I'm such a music nerd myself that I know a lot of people will have a bad music just for the single release, you know, but I'll buy an entire album on iTunes simply because I want to hear what the project in and of itself delivers, you know.
Mhm. Yeah, I like that too. I'm more of an album person than a singles person. Figured if somebody's putting a single out on the radio, there's got to be other good, you know, from a songwriter standpoint as well. There's got to be other songs out there that, you know, the artist wanted to cut. So I want to give, well, not just the ones that are being played on the radio. So I'll always buy the whole album versus just the single.
You know, and I'm the same way. See, I was in the high school marching band. I'm a drummer. So, and I'm also picking up a little guitar. I started that about 3 or 4 years ago. I started playing around with the guitar too. But I mean, being as musically inclined as I am, I mean, buying an album versus a single, I buy the album every time.
Mm-hmm. The way to go.
An album gives you more variety of songs. So even though one advertised song is advertised and some others may not, you may not necessarily like as much the songs that are being released, but you may like the other songs that haven't been released.
Exactly.
And that may lead, as a result, if more people agree, it may lead to those other songs being released. So that's the advantage of having an album / EP.
Yeah, and
I agree.
I tend to find.
I think we lost Carrie.
Nope.
And we did. That's okay. She'll call back in, I'm sure.
Yes. Sometimes the connection isn't the greatest. I've had that issue too when I've been driving.
Real quick. One second. I think we lost you. One second. And she's back. Hold on 1 second. I think we lost you there for a second.
I know. I heard it. And I'm like, oh no. So I just immediately called right back.
No worries. Don't worry about it. So, what were you saying?
Let me think. Oh, I do. I think it's important to buy the whole album too, because there's always some like little diamonds in the rough. The more emotional songs usually are on the album as well, you know, where there's certain songs that have to be played on the radio, certain songs that will never get played on the radio, but are probably the best song on the album. You know,
right.
Because
agreed. That is the case several times.
So I've got a couple of fun kind of get to know you questions, if you're okay with it.
Sure.
Awesome. So I know you touched on this a little bit earlier, but if you weren't in the music business, what would you be doing right now?
I wasn't in the music business, what would I be doing right now? It's funny. I joke around with people, and I say that I'd probably either A, be a tour guide for a historical site, or B, I'd be working at an antique store, or C, I would be like doing something that would be child related. Like I was a CASA, a court appointed special advocate, and so I'd probably go into the court system for children, but it's so heart wrenching. But yet that's, you know, that would probably be the most fulfilling. That's if I wasn't in the music business. I tried to do CASA a little bit while in the music business, but it was extremely hard because I felt like I wasn't dedicating enough time to the children. So I couldn't do it as often as I wanted to. There's a fine line there, but...
But according to your website, Carrie, you are very passionate about spreading awareness of domestic violence with any form of child endangerment, and you have done a lot of volunteer work with organizations such as Big Brothers, Big Sisters. That's fabulous. Do you still try to do that despite your busy schedule, or did you say that you just stopped it because you couldn't give the attention?
No, I'm going to try to... I recently moved, so I just need to get back into the system down here since I'm in a different state now. But no, I'll definitely continue to work with children. I've been doing it for so long. I don't think I could not do it. You know,
it's part of who you are, Carrie. That's why I believe you'll continue to do it. It's regardless. I think you'll always find time.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's too important.
Right.
That's awesome, and I have so much respect for you for that. That is incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, children are amazing. I just, you know, just to think all their possibilities. You know, the adults have so much control over what a child grows up to be. You know, whether. What path they're on. Ultimately, you know, it's the child's choice, but as an adult, you should always kind of be the person that helps them help them make the right decision and guide them down the path and show them nothing but, you know, love and support. And I always see the good before the bad, no matter who it is or, you know, what they've done. There was always a path of good somewhere.
I agree. I think the Luke Bryan also applies to you, that you believe most people are good, and that's a true statement, not to be sarcastic.
Yeah, I do. I do believe that.
You know, and I'm the same way. I'm an optimist, you know, and I tend to, I take people at the face value, which sometimes gets me into trouble. I'm not gonna lie, but it's what I do, you know. And like you, I tend to see a good in people before seeing the entire person. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a part of an overall attitude, especially in this business where there's so much competitiveness. It's hard to try to look at a person as a whole and as on the positive side first, you know. And sometimes, like with adults, I have to keep myself in check. With children, it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all. But with adults, it can be a little bit more, you know. But but definitely with children, it's not an issue.
Not at all. Like, you know, and I'm glad you brought up the music industry again because I mean, I understand that there's a sharks in the business, people in it, not for. Exactly the right reasons, but I tend to think that the 85 or 90% of the country music industry is genuinely good people.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yep. I agree as well.
No, and at least the people that we've dealt with on the show. I mean, I've been doing this in the country industry since 2014. So I've interviewed my share of people. So and by and large, everybody has been nothing but super gracious and just incredibly genuine.
That's great. Congratulations for 4 years. That's amazing.
Well, thank you. this is kind of a funny story, but I got into this radio thing all the way back in 2012. So 6 years altogether. And I had no intention of doing this whatsoever. I kind of fell into it by accident. I started this show basically on a whim. I gave myself 2 weeks. I said, if I don't like this in 2 weeks, or if I'm not feeling it, you know, I'm done. I'm hanging it up. Well, 2 weeks has turned into 6 years almost. So.
2 weeks now. That's that's like going to bed and waking up in the middle of the night. That's a real short time frame there. That's shorter than most women that fall in love with a man, tar at a bar, falls in love with them, decides to get married, and then tells him he has only 2 years to make it big before they have to move back home to her mama's house.
Well,
as long, you know what? As long as they do it before the ceremony, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Exactly. But I mean, seriously, I 6 years in radio, and I have no formal radio training whatsoever. I'm literally flying by the seat of my pants here. formal radio training.
You're doing a great job.
But, well, thank you. But and this is seriously one of the best decisions I've ever made.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic.
You know, and switching from what I was covering to music has been another great decision because I'm such a music fan, it's just not even funny. So to be able to get to do this on a weekly basis is great.
That's fantastic.
And then if you don't do it on a biweekly basis, if you don't do it for a week, then it'll be like, as you said, as if you haven't done it for a month.
True. Very true. Okay. I'm kind of getting back on track here. I've got another question for you. If you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
If I could change one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's lots of things, but I don't think if I had, I can't really say that there is anything that I would change because everything, I believe that, you know, we're always on the right path, whether it takes longer or not. I mean, that's just the way it is. There are some things that I think that I probably could have done differently. But then I wouldn't have ended up where I'm at right now. So there's really, you know, there's no hard, steadfast answer to that one. I can't like I can't live in the shoulda, woulda, coulda, because sometimes I do live in that shoulda, woulda, coulda world, and it drives me nuts. And so I can't, yeah. I can't really think like that. You know, I can't think back. I can only think forward.
You know, and this is going back to my radio career. A couple of days ago, I was feeling a little down because something didn't go my way that I wanted it to, and radio people are great. I unexpectedly got I got a call from somebody that I respected in the radio industry for years. It was such a pick me up. It wasn't even funny.
Oh, good. That's fantastic.
And we talked for about 10 or 15 minutes. He said, "Dude, I love what you're doing. I love your passion. Don't let this get you down. Keep going." And I'm like, wow. It was one of those what is my life right now moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was the other day after I was finishing, it was the next day after I finished the show, and I was a little down too. There was something on my mind, and I was driving, and in somebody's yard, it said, "You're not alone," and then the next house said, "Never give up." And then literally, I kind of chuckled, and I'm like, "All right, universe, I get your message." And right after that happened, I ended up looking at my phone and seeing that a dear friend who's a well-known songwriter in Nashville, that he had been to see how I was doing. And I was like, okay, things are not as bad as they seem. You know, there's always... There is a positive. I mean, it's just sometimes we can focus on the clouds instead of, you know, zooming out in the lens and look and say, that's only one cloud, and look at all the blue skies around it, you know? So.
You know what? There's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So sometimes it happens, a lot of times it happens when you least expect it. That's what.
Yeah,
true. You know, and that's what I love most about the country music community. I mean, that's from the fans, the artists, radio people, the insiders. Everybody in this industry is so incredibly supportive.
Yes. Yes, and it's always good to try to find, you know, your support group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the right support
group.
It helps keep things going.
Yeah, and also, you said that you'll be in Nashville sometime in May. Well, I'm actually coming to Nashville at May 7th through the 10th, so.
Oh, I will miss you. I'll miss you by 5 days.
Wow.
When you, are you going to be there before or after? Okay.
I'm going to be there around May 15th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I only live about 2.5 hours outside of Nashville, and I have family that lives about 15 minutes outside of the city, so I tend to go pretty much every chance I possibly get.
That's great.
Seriously, Nashville is like besides my hometown, Nashville is like my favorite city in the world.
Mhm. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I absolutely love it, and there's several places I have to go every time I'm in Nashville. One is the listening room. I don't know if you've ever played there. One is the Row, and there's a couple more places that I pretty much have to hit up pretty much every time I'm there.
That's fantastic. Usually when I'm there, I'm thinking of food.
The best time to come is during CMA Fest. Not only is it the best for activities, but you're so busy there that it's easy to go on a diet there because you don't have time to eat one place to another.
Yes, that is true. That is very true. Well, just like last week with, Tin Pan South, I always think that, not as many people know about Tin Pan South because it's the songwriter side of things versus DMA is more the artist side. But for the songwriter side, it's amazing. It's such a wonderful time to be in Nashville. But both times, during Tin Pan South and CMA week, it can be kind of crazy with everybody with everybody there. And you're right. You don't get much time to eat because you're out listening so much.
Well, there's one difference. Tin Pan South, I know about a lot of people like Ruthie Collins, Natalie Stovall, Lindsay L. Abby Anderson played at Tin Pan South. The one difference is you don't have time to eat at night because all these events happen at night. So in the daytime, you have plenty of time to gorge yourself.
That is true.
They make best, it's day and night. So
that's
why.
True.
Probably not. A lot of people will agree with this, and this is probably a unpopular opinion, but I tend to prefer a songwriter rounds over the bigger production shows.
No, they're two different babies, The the songwriter rounds, you get to hear it from the songwriter themselves, which most likely has more emotion into it, and it's also a stripped down version versus the whole production side of things. And yeah, I think there's plenty of room for both of them, but I do agree with seeing songwriters rounds and hearing it from the songwriter versus it's always fortunate when you have the songwriters also the artists too, and then you get a double win.
And also, I just love acoustic music. I mean, I'll take a singer and a guitar, just that over a big band production any day.
Mhm.
I agree. It's because you can hear the music. It's not as noisy. You can appreciate it a lot more, and you also get an opportunity to speak with the songwriters afterwards for the most part. So it's more intimate fan interaction.
And something else that I think acoustic shows bring over a full band productions is it shows a singer's range.
Yeah, it can, for sure.
Okay, so let's see. I've got a few more questions for you. Being a creative person, what inspires or motivates you?
What inspires me or motivates me? Everything inspires me. I'm always looking for ideas, or if I hear something, I'll jot down. And it is a little harder to write something that I'm not really attached to. Like I kind of, again, being such a lover of 90s country and a storyteller, it's a little harder to not put yourself in the shoes of the character. And I think that's why some of my songs are a little bit more in depth, especially on my Americana album, my Secrets album. I like having a movie play in my head. You know, I want to see a point A to point B, a beginning to an end in my head before I can really start diving in. And things have changed musically, writing wise. The music now is starting to get more along the emotion. So you're playing to the emotion, not necessarily to the story. So things are changing a little bit, but that's okay. You know, we all adapt to change no matter what profession you're in. And so getting back to the question at hand, I'm really just inspired by all sorts of things. It just depends on what's in the air. I think there was the question was what inspires me or motivates me. Is that what you said? Or motivates me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The motivation is, well, it's a job. I mean, writing music is a job. And so I kind of have to be motivated no matter what. And there's a lot, you know, you can wake up going, man, I don't want to write today or anything like that. I just want to veg and just take time off. You have to think about all those people that aren't waking up with that mentality. You know, they're going to write the next hit on the radio, and you should be writing that next hit on the radio. You know, so there's you got it in that mind frame of, you know, you can't call your boss at work and say, oh, you know, I really don't feel like coming into work today. You know, so songwriting is the same way. You can't just go, oh, I don't feel like writing today. You have to. And if you don't have anything to write, then you just start writing ideas, anything. And the creative juices will start to flow. Even if it's nothing that has to do with a particular song, if you're still writing, you're putting something down to paper, you know, pen and paper, and you may get something out of it or you may not, but you're still working on building that craft and building something.
I've only asked this next question to one other person in 4 years. So here we go. Is there one song, a past or present, in country music that you wish you had written?
Yes. In fact, it was the reason why I wrote my song Whiskey Kisses. It's called You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive. And the version that I like is Patti Loveless's version. It's off her Mountain Soul album. It's beautiful. It's a story song. And, you know, I'll tell you who wrote it because it's escaping my mind right now. Let me look here. Have you ever heard the song before?
I have not heard it.
You should look it up. Patti Loveless, Mountain Soul.
I'll definitely look that up.
It's Daryl Scott. That's who wrote it.
Oh, nice.
And it's such a beautiful, beautiful song.
I'll definitely look that up. This is probably the last question I've got for you, unless Craig's got anything else. But I was watching a Dan Rather interview a Kid Rock one time, and he asked Kid Rock this question. I'll ask it to you. When everything's said and done with your career, and you've won major award after major award, what's one thing that you want to be remembered for as an artist?
Being able to write those songs that touch people emotionally.
Awesome.
I have a couple of them, you know, I have a couple of them that whenever I kind of get frustrated and upset at the way things are going, for some reason, again, the stars aligning and the universe talking, I'll get an email that says, you know, I just listened to, you know, Tears in the Rain, and that song is what got me through my mom's death, or that was my, you know, that was my father's favorite song. And then it just brings it back around full circle and saying, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. If I'm writing a song that touches the life of somebody, then I'm making their world a better place, then I'm succeeding.
You know, and it's the same for me. I mean, I'm going to be extremely real with you here. This radio business is sometimes a thankless job. I'm going to be totally honest and lay that out there right now. But when I get a message like on social media or wherever, whether it's from an artist we've previously interviewed or a listener of the show, and they're like, dude, I loved your interview with so and so, whoever that artist might be, or I've gotten people saying, this is what you're meant to do. You're doing incredible things for the music industry, et cetera, et cetera. It takes every fiber of my being and not to just cry like a baby.
No. That's awesome.
Because I mean
yeah, we all need those affirmations.
And I'd say I'm a fairly emotional person anyway. Because I'm a creator myself. I'm a musician, like I said earlier, you know. So I'm a fairly emotional person myself. So when I get a message like that, I'm not crying right now. I am not crying right now. But I mean, it really does. It really lets you know that this is what you're supposed to be doing. You know?
Yeah. I do.
Oh.
So,
yeah. Cody, I have one question to ask Candy.
All right, but go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, Carrie, what artist would you be interested in either writing or collaborating with in the future?
What artist?
Yes.
That's a good question. I've never even thought along those lines before. Sort of, but not. No. As far as newer people go, gosh, I would have to say Thomas Rhett. I love Thomas Rhett. I think he's so ahead of the curve. He's so ahead of the curve on every album that he puts out. It's just one step ahead of everybody else. I honestly think that the best song out there right now is his song "Marry Me," because it is such a gut wrencher, a jaw dropper, something you did not expect to hear, you know, and you're just like, what, you know? And so
exactly.
I think that is one of the songs that's going to go down in the record books, because it is so well written, And he just delivers it so well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to say, yeah, Thomas
yeah.
Rhett.
Yeah, I agree. That's
video,
one of the best songs.
And that Marry Me video, I love it so much. It's just so great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I like him as a person, too. He's just has such a kind heart, and he's such a good soul. And, you know, and they obviously, you know, him and his wife adopted first before they became pregnant. And, you know, so, again, it goes back to the child thing and, you know, putting others first. And he's just such a wonderful person, wonderful human being.
You know, and that's how I feel about what I imagine would be most of the people in country music. They're just so incredibly approachable.
Yeah, I think a good 90% of them are, of us are. I said them and then I had to change.
I agree with that
us.
Completely. So I'm less than I've got for you. What's coming up next for you in the rest of this year? What's coming up for you?
Well, I'm working on writing more right now. I'm focusing on maybe putting out another single, even though I have the two albums I'm working on right now that are getting great airplay all over, especially over in Europe, my Americana album, Secrets, and then also my pop country, Let's Dance. They're both doing really, really well right now. But obviously, I need to keep putting more stuff out. So I'm working on the next album, along with writing for other people. And I think that's going to be the main focus. I've been touring so much. This year, it's kind of scaled back just a little bit. But not, you know, not like I'm at a standstill. But it's, you know, if you don't have the song, then there's no point. You know, you just keep writing and write the best you can, and you know that's how you build a good solid foundation as far as your fans go and everything.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to tell you this, but every Friday. At 4:30, I host what's called Indie Country Radio. I'm sure you've seen the tweets and the, and the Instagram posts, but I'll be more than happy to play your stuff on the show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, you know, and speaking of social media, where can fans find you if they wanna follow along with you?
They can just go to my website, which is carrielive.com, like what you're hearing right now, me speaking live, carrielive.com. And right on the front page there, you can sign up for my newsletter. So then if you want to know my coming and goings, you just sign up there. And that's the best way, really, because it links my social media. It links to my Instagram and my Facebook and my Twitter account. So, yeah, and you can get my music there as well. So,
awesome.
CarrieLive.com.
Hey, thank you for doing this. This has been so much fun.
I appreciate it. It has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's been terrific to interview with you.
Yes, and
Carrie.
And you've got a open invitation to the show anytime.
Aw, thank you.
Absolutely. So I think we're gonna let you go, but like I said, you've got an open invitation back anytime you want to come back home.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to both of you.
Terrific talking to you too,
I'll
and I do
later,
hope,
Carrie.
Carrie, to see you perform live and get to meet you in Nashville,
yes,
or maybe
absolutely.
Even New York and New Jersey one day.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later, Carrie, okay?
All right. Thanks again, you guys.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
That was fun.
Yes. Well, she is very passionate about her music, and she is very caring. And that's one of the
which is
a major reason why I think we will be hearing plenty more about Carrie in the months to come.
Tomorrow on the show, and I am just super excited for this. We have the lovely Sarah Ellen Thomas from SMT's brand new show Music City joining us.
Yes, she is very excited about this interview, and tomorrow should also, like today, should be another fantastic, fun interview.
Yes, it should. And I think I'm gonna I'll let you go too, buddy, and kind of wrap things up before Blog Talk Radio kicks us off.
All right. Have a good night, Cody. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Carrie Cunningham. Like I said, tomorrow at 4:30 Central, we have the super talented Miss Sarah Ellen Thomas from CMT's Music City joining us. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.